Well, we are joining with Christians around the world today to celebrate the fact that almost 2,000 years ago, something happened that changes everything. See, this is a mistake that we need to make sure we don't make, because even people that are following Jesus sometimes make this mistake, and of course others make the same mistake. Their view of Christianity is that it is fundamentally a way of life, a philosophy, a religious philosophy, that it's a spiritual pathway, it's a set of doctrinal statements. Friends, Christianity includes those things. I mean, we're really big on our discipleship pathway at Chapel Springs, but what I'm trying to make, the point I'm trying to make is this, that fundamentally at its core, Christianity is a deep conviction that something happened. That something happened that fundamentally changes this world, this universe, and it'll never be the same again. Something took place in history that at Jesus' resurrection, something new was introduced. New creation life came bursting forth upon the earth at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This universe history-changing event was stated by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's where we're going to be today. For those that would like to funnel along and you got your Bible on your phone or whatever, Paul is saying this to the first Christians, the early church. He writes this. He says, I passed on to you what was most important. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried. And he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. You see, something's happened, Paul is saying. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive. By the way, for skeptics today, for those that are investigating the claims that we are sharing today, I want you to know that we have a reasonable faith today, that our faith isn't just pie in the sky, park your brain. No. We are following today a risen Savior, and we are on a strong, reasonable foundation today, okay? And part of that is simply the behavior of those first disciples when they saw Jesus alive, right? And you can Google the case for Easter, and you can get more information on this for those that would like it. But I want you to notice here, brothers and sisters, listen, that Paul is saying this. He's saying, listen, I passed on to you what was most important. Pastor, what all do we have to believe to be followers of Jesus? I know that there are people watching, there are people around the world today in churches. I really believe there's going to be more people plugged in, whether it's in person or, you know, on the internet, that people really want to have some answers because of the hopelessness that's all around them, right? And so they're checking out Easter and checking out the claims of Christ. And listen, we need to understand that Christians too often will argue about so many secondary things, and other people are watching us arguing about splitting some hairs and this and that and the other thing. And somebody I believe just wants to know, Pastor, what do I need to believe to be a Christian? And here it is. We need to believe this, friends, listen, that Christ Jesus died for our sin at the cross so that we could be forgiven and restored to the Father. That he was buried and 3 days later he rose from the dead, and he is our risen King and Savior. You know, many of us hear it so often that we forget how amazing and profound it really is. Think with me. Jesus, God's Son, very God of very God, we say in the confession. He died, was buried, entered into Hades, which is the Bible's word for the place of the dead. This past year, we've been confronted with the reality of death, unlike any other year in most of our lifetimes. Now, some are old enough to remember World War II, and, you know, there have been some horrific years, you know, in history that we could compare to. But for many of us, I mean, this is about as real as it's gotten when it comes to facing the reality of death. And isn't it amazing to think that God the Son willingly experienced death for himself. We can say this, that God died for us. Wow. God the Son was buried in a tomb. Willingly, he laid down his life. Christmas, we celebrate incarnation, God with us. But friends, his becoming like us in our humanity was never more real than when he joined us in death. But then 3 days later, he rose again. Hallelujah. Amen. Thereby defeating our ultimate enemy. When God raised his son Jesus from the dead, what did he do? He drove a stake through the heart of the number one enemy of the human race. Because of Christ's resurrection, listen, death itself is dying. Once Jesus stepped out of that grave into the garden, at that moment, death was on the clock. Come on. At that very moment, death's days were numbered. And this is what keeps hope alive in our hearts today, in spite of the very difficult year that we've had. In a few minutes, we'll come to a key phrase that the Apostle Paul uses in this chapter. He's going to talk about the sting of death. And boy, we sure have felt that sting this past year, haven't we? 553,000 COVID-related deaths in the United States, 2.82 million COVID deaths around the world. This is a good time right now to just give a shout out and to recognize all of our doctors and our nurses. Come on, all those on the front line this past year, healthcare workers, administrators, first responders, yeah. I'm sure that many, many of us today have been touched personally. We have a friend, a loved one who has succumbed to COVID-19. There are some pastors in our community who died of COVID. Pastor Roberto Hidalgo, the pastor of Pentecostal Iglesia Church in Manassas. Why do I mention his name? He passed away this past year because his church was started in a Sunday school room in our church that we used to own in the city of Manassas. And brothers and sisters, he planted that church there. He wound up purchasing the building from us, and God used him to raise up a tremendous Spanish congregation. Glory a Dios, hallelujah, to the glory of God, he succumbed to COVID-19. That stings, friend, that stings. Pastor Robin Bales, we have people who have come to us from New Covenant Fellowship. We're aware of that congregation. A dear friend of mine, he succumbed to COVID-19. We have stories. It's the sting of death, and it hurts. It's not fun. There's an extra sting when you're dealing with a life-threatening, highly contagious virus, dying while quarantined. Think of the people who died alone, unable to say goodbye, memorial services postponed or canceled. I was able to be at the bedside of a dear friend who was dying, not from COVID, but from a lung disease, and he was critical. And I went to the facility because this was a little later on in the game and things had started to open up. I believe it was this past fall. And because I'm a pastor, I was able to get to the hospital and get into the hospital. But then by some crazy mix-up, I'm not going to tell you which hospital it was, but I ended up being somewhere where I wasn't supposed to be. I was at the ICU floor, and it was where the COVID people were behind the tents there. And the guy said, "What are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here." And I said, "Well, Pastor, you got to explain." And he said, "Well, you're here already, but you only got 10 minutes. You can go." And so there I was, and my dear friend, there he was. And I had the honor of FaceTiming on my phone with him as he said goodbye to his grandchildren. And they told Grandpa how much they loved him. It's the sting of death. We've experienced it, especially this year. But here's the great truth of Easter that can be a great source of comfort and hope to us today. Because Jesus died, was buried, and rose up from the dead, then death, listen to me, has been swallowed up in victory. Am I talking to Christians today? Come on. Amen. You don't need your mask off to give a clap today. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yes. There's great this great truth of Easter that can be the source. Death has been swallowed up in victory. God, through the resurrection of his son, has defeated our arch enemy. And today, I'm going to answer just two questions this morning. And because I'm the preacher, I get to ask the questions and answer them. But I think these are two questions that you would appreciate. And the first one is, how exactly did it do it? Because it's important for us to understand. And then secondly, why is it such a great source of comfort and hope, especially given the horrific year that we've just had? First, how did he conquer death? Friends, listen, he conquered death by death. Jesus gave a hint of this to the religious leaders one day when he was performing miracles and was preaching good news, and they asked him straight out, if you're the Messiah, then we want you to give us a sign. If you're the Son of God, give us a sign. If what you say is true, we want a sign. And Jesus said, okay, I'm going to give you a sign, but this is the only sign you're going to get. And this is what he said, Matthew chapter 12. Check this out. He said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, I know I'm talking to people, maybe you didn't grow up in church, but you know, if you went to Sunday school, you've probably heard the story of Jonah in the whale. Come on, amen, or the big fish, right? You know the story. Here's the sign Jesus is telling them. We know now what Jesus meant. Jesus meant that just like Jonah got swallowed by a big fish, Jesus was going to be swallowed by death. But just like Jonah wouldn't stay in the belly of the fish, Jesus would not stay in the belly of death. Amen. Now, one of the best movies I've ever seen that illustrates how Jesus conquered death is Men in Black. Now, some of you are not old enough to remember this movie because I believe it is 20-some years old. Some of you are old, but you don't watch these kind of movies, and you're wondering, what in the world am I talking about, Pastor Scott? I will explain it briefly to you. Agent K and Agent J are part of a police force that protects the galaxy from extraterrestrials that might invade the Earth. And an extraterrestrial came from the bug race, the giant bug. There he is. Take a look. And in the final scene, the giant bug eats their laser guns. Tommy Lee Jones is a little mad about it, and he's ticked off, and he starts resolutely walking toward the big bug, and Will Smith calls after him, where are you going? And he turns around and says, I'm going to get my gun back. He starts to taunt the giant bug. You slimy, no good insect, go ahead, eat me, swallow me, go ahead. And he did. Was gone. Agent J was not going to give up. Starts to taunt it. And just before the bug is going to eat Will Smith, it explodes. And out comes Agent K, all slimed up and holding his laser gun. Friends, the giant bug was destroyed from the inside out. And that's kind of what happened when death tried to swallow Jesus. Now work with me here, people. Work with me. Here's the truth of what happened on Holy Week, friends. Death dared to swallow the Son of God, but could not digest divinity. Come on, that'll preach. Amen. Yeah. We don't reflect much on what happened on Saturday. Holy Saturday. But the Bible isn't silent about it. Historically, the Christian church has recognized its importance. We all know about Good Friday. We know about Easter Sunday. But what about Saturday, friends? Historically, the Christian church recognizes that there was an important work going on Saturday. It's represented by a little phrase in the Apostles' Creed, right? Where in our confession of faith, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was died, was buried, and then it says, and he descended to the dead, to Hades. That was Saturday. Peter and Paul both refer to this in their letters, Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes this, he also descended to the lower earthly regions. And when he did that, he then ascended and he led a host of captives from death. Hallelujah. Peter writes it like this, he was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Wow. On Saturday, he went into the belly of death and preached the good news. Man, when you loved or heard that sermon, you had to have been dead to hear it. But anyway. Now, some of you didn't appreciate my using Hollywood. I can tell. I see it on your face. You shouldn't be referring to Hollywood movies. So I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to show you something a little more traditional. This is the Anastasis icon. Various renditions of this basic scene have been created, mostly within the Eastern Orthodox churches. It's also called the harrowing of hell. The harrowing of hell. This represents Jesus on Saturday, just before his resurrection. Just before his resurrection on Saturday, and notice what he's doing. What's he doing? Here's what the church says historically. He is harrowing hell, the place of the dead. Now, if you've ever had a harrowing experience, and you know it was a disturbing experience. It was a frightening experience, right? It was just, right? And so what is Jesus doing? He's down in the place of the dead, and he's giving hell a headache. He's disturbing hell. Come on. He is distressing hell, right? He is tormenting the place of the dead. He is undoing death. What are you looking at? That's like Jonah in the belly of the whale. You're looking at something like Agent K in the belly of the bug. He's commencing the destruction of Hades from the inside out. Friends, this is the start of that promise that we read with Pastor Stephanie earlier. He will swallow up death. This is where it starts. Death tried to swallow God, but in so doing, God started swallowing up death. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice some of these details. There are two people that he's lifting out of their tombs, a man and a woman. That's Adam and Eve. What's happening? Humanity is being delivered from the tyranny of death. What's Jesus doing? The stinger is being removed. Amen. Below his feet are broken locks and chains and keys. Friends, the bondage of death is being destroyed by the resurrection of Jesus. I love the doors that have been knocked down. He's standing on door. What are the? Those are the gates of hell. And notice they have fallen in the shape of a cross. What does this tell us? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is destroying death by death. Hallelujah. At his glorious cross. Amen. And bringing life, trampling down death, and thereby fulfilling God's promise to bring us out of the grave and back into the garden. Before we close in prayer, let's just allow the Apostle Paul to bring a little encouragement to us in light of this great truth. I'm just going to read a couple of more verses from this wonderful chapter, because listen to what he goes on to write. He says, listen, there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. What's this saying? That Jesus' resurrection wasn't the end. The resurrection, we're not just celebrating a one-off. What we're celebrating today is just the beginning, right, of that final day when all who belong to Christ will be raised. It's like that song, if he walked out of the grave, you're walking out too, amen. But also because Christ died and is risen, listen, death no longer has to be the tragedy that it has been. It's still difficult. There's still a sense of loss. It is not fun. Come on, let's not overpromise anything or whitewash anything. No, it's difficult. But look at what it says here in the next verse, verse 50. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. You see, because of what Jesus has done for us, death no longer is purposeless, but it serves now an important purpose in this great story of God rescuing creation. Friend, do you know that at Easter, new creation started? And that new creation is going to come into its fullness when Christ returns, because at the end, he's going to make everything new. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, right? The kingdoms of this world will bow and will give way to the eternal, glorious kingdom of God, that eternal kingdom. But what Paul says is this: we can't live there in these broken down, dying bodies. So what happens? Death now becomes just a way to plant these broken bodies in order that one day they would burst forth in a new heavenly, indestructible body. Hallelujah. Praise God. And this wonderful secret that we'll not all die, but we'll all be transformed. You see, you can't live for eternity in this broken down body. That's why I'm believing, God, that baldness will not transcend over into the age to come, right? That it just boom, right? That's what I'm trusting for. I always look at Brother Tom. I'm sorry, brother. It's our secret, though. We're gonna hang, right? Amen. And then notice, friends, what he goes on to say in verse 54. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Friends, though the days be dark and evil is on the rise, dear friends, this is what keeps hope alive. We are moving toward the fulfillment of God's great promise. Death will be swallowed up in victory. And Paul closes with this: for sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Would you stand with me, friend? We still experience a sting in death, but what is the Apostle Paul telling us? That at the cross, Jesus removed the real sting. Because it was at the cross that our sins are forgiven. And the real sting of death is sin itself. But today we can be forgiven. Come on, amen. We can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We can begin to step out of that dark place of death and step into a fresh new garden of new life. You can begin to experience it right now. I'm going to close by asking you to read a short verse with me. It's one of the most important things that Jesus ever said about resurrection, from John 11:25. It's a great one to close on. Look at what Jesus said. Would you read it with me with great conviction today? I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Can you thank Jesus for that promise today? Thank you, Jesus. Before you leave today, can you just take a moment and have a quiet moment between you and the Lord right now? Whether you're here in person or you're watching on YouTube right now, just take a moment. I know that the Lord is speaking to people. Maybe because of the horrific year, you've come back to church and you're checking Jesus out. You're checking right now. I believe that something's going on in your heart. There's a new faith that's being welling up inside of you, and that's Jesus welcoming you home. That's Jesus calling you out of the dead place into a fresh place of life. He can do it for you, friend. He's the resurrection. He's the life. Put your faith and trust in him. If you're here today, as we're all letting everyone have a quiet moment, If you'd like to say, oh Lord, I want to step out of darkness and into light, would you just lift your hand up before the Lord, whether you're sitting at home, wherever you are today, or right here in our auditorium here at Chapel Springs, just put a hand up before the Lord right now and just cry out to Jesus. And just right now in Jesus' name, begin to pray. Pray something like this. Oh Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I recognize I am in a dark place, that there's death around me, that things are crumbling. My life is a mess. Jesus, I'm tired, I'm wore out, but God, I put my faith and trust in you. Jesus, I trust you. Rescue me. Save me. Make me new in Jesus' name. Pray that prayer in Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's just pray together in Jesus' name. Lord, would you begin that new process of new life that will come right now to people in Jesus' name. Lord, bring new life in those places of death, in the name of Jesus. Friends, Jesus knows who you are. He knows you. He loves you. This isn't just a promise for the future someday. This is a promise for right now, that you can begin to experience his healing touch in your life. He can heal a marriage. He can set you free from addiction. He can start that process in your life. Lord Jesus, he knows you. Lord, I pray for everybody that's within the sound of my voice right now. May they know that you love them, that you died for them, that you're alive and you're present in their life right now. And Lord, at this Easter Sunday, may this be a new beginning, a wonderful beginning of hope and healing. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Can we give it an amen? Amen. Let's give God praise today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe that there are people that have prayed that prayer and you've come back to Jesus, or maybe it's the first time you've ever opened up your life and invited him to rescue you, to be your Savior. There's going to be another little QR code that's coming on your screen, whether you're here in person or you're watching at home. And if you just put your phone there and just, you know, phone, just zero in on it, that'll take you to a place that I'll be able to connect with you this week. If you've prayed that prayer, or maybe you just want more information about Jesus, maybe this has stirred a desire in your heart to find out more about Christ, we'd be honored to connect with you this week and to help you get started in your faith or answer any questions that you have. Praise the Lord. Well, folks, God bless you. Aren't you thankful that Jesus, come on, has conquered death itself? Hallelujah. And he's taken the stinger on it. Amen. Praise God. May you have a wonderful Easter.